Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danka, Bharati Jagdish and Ryan Hwang with you. It's time now for the bigger picture.
Today's question of the day. Will there or won't there be a recession? The warning signs are clearly rearing their heads, aren't they, Ryan? But what's next?
Yeah, guys, if you look hard enough, there is, I guess, always something to read into. And the latest comes from an inverted yield curve overnight. So these inversions in the bond market have been rather reliable predictors of past recessions. And overnight, we saw the 5-year and 30-year U.S. Treasury yields inverting. So that's the first time this has happened since 2006, before the Great Recession. To get a bigger picture, we've got Sean Taylor. He is the Chief Investment Officer for Asia Pacific at DWS. Morning, Sean. How are you doing today?
Very good morning. How are you?
Hey, Sean. Glad to have you on. Now, let's talk about what's happening here on the yield curve inversion front. Is this a reliable warning sign, Sean?
We don't think it is. Obviously, in the past, we've had quite a good correlation between inversion and recession. But it normally takes a number of years. So, from when we have the inversion, it's normally about 2 years before we get the recession. But this time is also, I think, slightly different because the two best indicators are actually 10-year to 2-year, which is still just positive, and also 10 to 3 months, which is as well. Real rates also in this cycle are negative. In the past, when we've had an inversion, real rates have been something like 200 basis points on average. So different scenarios then. So we actually think that in the moment, we will not get a recession. The most likely place where we could say, there is a risk of recession is in Europe because of what's been happening with the energy prices. But at the moment, our base case is lower GDP growth, but still not a recession.
Yeah, that's a good point. Financial markets are not the way they were before, so things may not pan out according to how it was in history. And talking about what's happening with indicators, we've got some data coming out this week in the form of US fourth quarter GDP, as well as recently we've got some rather strong jobs numbers, so we've got a monthly report coming up as well. What's your take on where things are going for the US economy and what it means for the pace of rate hikes in the coming quarters?
Yeah, Ryan, I think the US economy is in really good shape. And Chairman Powell was sort of alluding to this a couple of weeks ago when he said, look, the economy's strong, job market's very tight, inflation's picking up, and I'm going to be hiking rates. And that's what he started to do. When this awful situation in Ukraine started, we did see the 10-year, it could come down to something like 1.7 as people thought, well, that's the end of the rate cycle. That will delay things. But, actually what it's caused is more inflation. And then, the rate cycle has now started again. And that's obviously been reflected in the 10-year and other bond markets. I think the real figure they're worrying about is the job market. The tight job market is going to be what the Fed is going to be focused on. I think the GDP, number isn't so important. We still have opening up of the economies happening. Employment's strong, jobs are strong. It's where that goes to is going to be really critical for the level of terminal rates.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk right now about how large the rate hikes will be. I've seen some predictions about 50 basis point hikes for the next 4 meetings. How aggressive do you think the Fed will be?
We're a little bit more cautious now. We're looking for another 5 this year and 3 next year. I know some houses are front-loading that and said the next 2 meetings is going to be 50-50. But I think it's going to be the data dependent. There is a chance that we're going to get in May. I mean, I think Chairman Powell would have done 50 in this month if it hadn't have been the Ukraine conflict. So there is definitely a chance that there. But in one way, it's funny because the equity market's responding quite positively. I mean, since the Ukraine conflict, where we did have a fall in global equities, particularly in the US, they've already gone through those heights, the heights they were before. So the equity market is definitely looking through the Ukraine situation and focusing more on rates. And maybe in one way it's saying, actually, the fact that rates are going up quicker, it means that we're going to get these rises out of the way and normalize quicker. And that's been seen as a positive move for the markets.
Yeah, Sean, one of the big things driving sentiment these days is oil prices. And we've got an OPEC meeting coming up later this week. And with that backdrop, you've got a potential Europe recession, like you highlighted, that could be a possibility. You've got what's happening in China, the lockdown, just dampening demand for commodities. So if you take that into account, does OPEC have any incentive to put more supply back to markets?
Like, I think there's been an indication that the UAE will probably put a little bit more supply back. But, I mean, the real swing producer is Saudi, and I don't see any move there. I think Russia has kept in, you know, OPEC plus Russia, I think it's kept quite strong. And the other agenda is when, you know, if Iran starts to, you know, is allowed to put more barrels on. So I think it will be a sort of, I don't think there'll be that much coming out of the meeting. The oil price fell a bit last night. I mean, that was because the global market's a bit worried about the lockdown in China. Look, China's dealt incredibly well with COVID. It's one place in the world that it can lock down and open up pretty quickly. So, you know, whenever you start seeing a lockdown in Europe or the US, you know it's going to take 2-3 months and that demand is going to wane over that period. We saw Shenzhen happen. A week or so ago, 4 days later, everything was open up again. Mass testing had been done, and the economy's back again. The economy in China is weak, weaker than expected, but it's mainly to do with confidence of the consumer, not so much the manufacturing and production side, which still maintains it. So I would have thought any fall in the oil price, given the supply and demand imbalance, given that, you know, it's like Singapore's opening up, which is good news, more and more every day, Asia will start to open up more and more, and so we'll also have another tailwind of opening up in Europe and in the US. And, you know, we have got elevated oil prices, so I'd be a buyer of oil on any dip.
Yeah, Sean, let's wrap things up by bringing it back home to Singapore, where we have restrictions, like you pointed out, being lifted today. And with that backdrop, you've got many moving parts, what's happening in China as well, external factors. Do you anticipate a revision for Singapore's GDP this year? And with that restrictions being eased, what does it mean for Singapore stocks?
Well, I mean, Singapore stocks have held up very well, particularly financials and property. I mean, Singapore's government's been good at incentivizing things to keep the economy going, and financials are doing very well. So I don't really see any real change there. Obviously, some of the more discretionary stocks might be better, but the stock market doesn't necessarily reflect the sort of service side of the economy so much. But it's good for confidence, and it's good to see. And hopefully, it's the start of a wider opening up.
And Sean, where would you be parking your money right now? You know, we've got so many markets across the world seeing so many different pressures right now.
Well, we still like equities relative to bonds, particularly on the sovereign side. In equities, you know, Asia has underperformed. Singapore's been an outperformer. We would suggest putting more money into the ASEAN region as it opens up. And we are waiting for a turning point in China that we can add more money into China, because China's been hit by, you know, worries over geopolitics, ADR issues, and just the weakness in the economy, and also, you know, the lockdown. And we think that will change over the next 6 months, and China will then look interesting, and that will get the region going. On the fixed income side, Asian credit is looking interesting. Not necessarily high yield in China. We'd still be worried about China credit, but the rest of the market has sold off because of China and global worries, and it gives a good opportunity to add exposure there.
So opportunities in China down the road. We've been checking in with Sean Taylor. He is the Chief Investment Officer for Asia Pacific at DWS. Sean, thank you for your time, and we will talk to you again soon.
Pleasure.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO, available on Google Play or the App Store.